Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. I'm just going to read you the directions that are given, which say, where the solemnity of the Epiphany is transferred to Sunday, no matter what its date, if it's transferred to Sunday, which it fell on a Sunday for us, so yesterday was the Feast of the Epiphany. If this Sunday occurs on January 7th or 8th, then the feast of the baptism of the Lord is celebrated the following Monday. So yesterday we celebrated the Epiphany, and today we're going to celebrate the baptism of the Lord, which occurred many years later. Brothers and sisters, what the church wants to do is to bring these major feasts, these major times of the Lord together so that we can both look at them and celebrate them and acknowledge them. So we've celebrated the Epiphany, the manifestation, that's the word Epiphany, manifestation of Christ to the Magi. That was the first open declaration, quiet, humble, etc., but nevertheless the first revelation to the Magi. Now, what we're celebrating is Christ's baptism by John in the Jordan. This is another tremendous indication that the Messiah had come. The Epiphany was one. You had to understand to see it all, but it was there. And now the baptism of Jesus is another sign that is foretold to us in Scripture in the first reading, the prophet Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4 and 6 to 7. Thus says the Lord, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. That's what Jesus has done for us. He's the one, if we follow, he takes us by the hand. And he helps us in him, to become a light to others, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring up prisoners for confinement. We can participate in that work of God if we believe him, because this is who the Messiah is. This is what he came to give his people. Let's celebrate this. And then ask him, Lord, how can I participate in your work of salvation? Ask him. Ponder it. Reflect on it. Right in your own area. Right in your own home, maybe. What is it that God is asking of me to reveal more the presence of Christ? Magnificat magazine tells us, Jesus joins the people going out to John the Baptist in the gesture of repentance, not because there is sin in him, but in order to model for us the only authentic way to approach the Father. All of us, when we approach the Father, come in repentance. And so John is baptizing in the Jordan. There he is baptizing, and Jesus joins those repentant sinners. And why does he do that? In order to model for us, he's a model for us, the only authentic way to approach the Father. He goes to the Baptist as a beggar because the mystery is mercy. Jesus surrenders to mercy by submitting himself to baptism in order to invite us to share in his relationship with the Father. Look at that. Jesus is saying, come. Jesus has no sin. But he assumes that position and then calls us to join him. You could join him every day. Come to him every day, but he says, come, bring your sins, come. The Lord Jesus lowers himself in his baptism and as nothingness acknowledges his Father so that we will never hesitate to do the same. Jesus is teaching us. It is Jesus' baptism, but that we're called to be incorporated into the work of Christ. Think about this in your own life. I want to take a look at the gospel, and then I'll go back to the second reading. Gospel is, again, the gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me? John the Baptist recognizes him, and he says, no, no, no. John tried to prevent him, and Jesus said to him in reply, allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. I became man to bring men to God. I will do what all men need to do. And then he allowed him. And after Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove coming upon him, and a voice from the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. The Father looks upon his Son. Jesus, by his death, calls us into union with him, that we might be the Father's sons and daughters as well. This is real. It's not just some kind of image. This is real. And it's these feasts that help us to point the way. We do point the way, but to learn the way in order that we might point others to it. That's what God's about. Enter in. Don't be a spectator. Don't say, oh, that's a wonderful story. Say to the Lord, Lord, what are you asking of me? How can I participate more fully in your humility? How can I participate more fully by truly repenting of my sins? How can I come into a deeper relationship with the Father like you did? Lead me, show me, guide me. That's how we want to pray. That should be our attitude. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Don't you often think of heaven? Don't you often think of what is the Lord going to say when he sees you? This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. No, we're sinful creatures, and Jesus was not. But those who cooperate, those who share in his grace that he won for us upon the cross, those of us who imitate him, those of us who more and more deeply receive his Spirit into our lives and are led by him, motivated by him, share in his life. One day, is it not conceivable that Jesus would look at us and say, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. Christ won that for us upon the cross. Without Christ, that could never be said. Christ won that for us to be called sons and daughters of God. But we need to repent when we fail. This is real. This is more real wherever you are. If you're holding your phone and listening to the radio program that way, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, it is real that you are a beloved son or daughter of Jesus Christ. You are. You are. Receive that. my booklet on faith that I'm offering again because faith is so important. The 800 numbers are given at the end of the program. Grow in faith. Look at who you are. Read what the church fathers say. Many of you have that booklet, but many of you do not. This is who you are. And if your sin has been forgiven, you can move ahead. You can grow in intimacy with God. You can grow to become more and more like Him. Or what it would be like in the darkness of this world if His sons and daughters shone like the light of the sun. It's an image. But in Christ, the more we follow Him, the more we share in His beauty and His glory. And lives change. They honestly do, and so can yours. There is an article by a Father Bede Jarrett, who was a Dominican priest from England, somebody that when I was first in religious life, I read a lot of his material. He died in the early 1930s, but he says something here about the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son," the Holy Spirit manifesting Himself as Jesus was baptized by John. And we hear the words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And Father Jarrett says this, "The value of baptism is that I am no longer a child of wrath, but that I become a child of God. A seal or a mark or a character is stamped upon me, whereby I am set apart forever as a son. I am set apart forever as a son, as a daughter. The very sinful nature whence I was rescued by this saving sacrament is now made, as it were, of the nature of God. I partake of the divine nature." It's true, brothers and sisters. Father Jarrett says, "I am lifted up from the depth of my degradation to the height of God Himself. Hence it is that in the fathers and early writers, there is so much in their commentaries on that wonderful mystery of the incarnation, insofar as it brings Him to earth and lifts earth to Him. Surely, if I could only realize what great things have been done for me, I should never again lose courage or hope. If only I could get myself to understand that God has indeed made me His child, that I am no longer His servant, but His son, I should never more put to myself the querulous and foolish question as to what use I am here at all. Sometimes I am tempted, when things spiritual are very dull and seemingly not very successful, to cry out that it is no advantage my going on or attempting to go on, when I am evidently of so little consequence in the sight of God. But He has so much that is more worthy of His attention that I cannot conceive His having the time or the desire to look after me. But then I have to say, I am now His son. I am now His daughter, and everything changes. May God lead you. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, to obtain my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That is 1-800-282-4789. Faith More Precious Than Gold, or go to our website, renewalministries.net, and then click on Free Booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold.